Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020 DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful yet again to be able to broadcast with you live from Talk Straight. Talk Straight, again, with your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And again, we're in an open mic format. We invite you to give us a call here tonight. You follow me live on Facebook, live stream. Come on, get in with me. Get in where you fit in. If you are on the Blog Talk Radio platform and you're listening, feel free to call us here, 657-383-0944. I apologize. It's been quite a long day today. Again, the number to call in the studio is 657-383-0944. Be happy to hear your comments and share with you and get your feedback there. We are, again, in open mic mode right now, and hopefully our callers, our regular callers can call in here. We'll stay on here online with you as long as we can tonight. About an hour and 30 minutes is the time allotted for the show, but we'll see how things are going. We'll see how things are going. In case you're listening for the first time, the open mic format basically is where I allow the listening audience, since we've been doing this show for the last 6 years now, I don't provide an open mic format, necessarily a monologue, which typically is geared toward giving background and context to the discussion that we have, focused discussion that we're having. And the goal there is to make sure that everybody can follow at the end of the show the thread of thought, and they come away with some sensible conclusion, reasonable conclusion that can be made from all of the dialogue. And best way for me to control that outcome is to have a monologue to give our callers, panel that may join us for the evening, context for the topic that we're talking about. And that was largely because we were doing a traveling lecture series, and we had addressing at-risk issues for urban American males. Open mic allows us to turn the microphone or the floor over to you, the listening audience. If there's something on your mind, I know it's a lot going on around the country, inflation, and inflationary factors or consequences are facing a lot of people. I saw a story where a gentleman, hardworking gentleman, out of New York, found himself homeless. As a result, in just a few years, a couple of years of various factors, but in the last year, inflationary factors. So it's a real deal. There's a lot of conversation now around children going back to school and what parents can expect them to have as a focus for their learning. So, and many people, everybody I know as a parent, I know that I'm the first and last authority over what my children learn, certainly while they're under my care as minors. Now, frankly, my children are grown now. They're young adults. They're in their 20s and mid-20s for both of them, really. So, I can't tell them what to do, but certainly if you have a minor child, you expect that your values and your teachings are in no way challenged or questioned as they go out into the public sector, whether that's at church or school or community center, anywhere, on a field trip, another issue. Violence seems to be even more prevalent, particularly in urban American areas. And that's a source of concern for many, understandably. We'll talk about that. The idea of how do you address violence, how do you address basic disrespect, how do you address the driving forces behind crime and illegality? Well, you've heard me say this before. I'll reiterate it tonight. I would argue that responsible fatherhood is the answer. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher said, responsible fatherhood is the answer. Yes, and as well, I would encourage anyone to ask themselves, well, why? Why do you say that? Dockery, why do you say that responsible fatherhood? Biblically speaking, it is the duty and responsibility of a father to protect, to provide, to nourish, and instruct their children. Well, it's not intended to do that by itself. You know, that's not a single effort. That's in concert with the mother of those children. And when you do that, two adults are responsibly addressing the growth and developmental needs of their children. And they know what they're looking for, or have some idea at least what they're looking for as an outcome. Then those children have the best chance of having healthy guidance, instruction, and growth and development. See? Now, how do you get to be a father? Some people assume that that comes automatically. I would argue no. Process. And perhaps the best way is to speak with successful fathers, right? Those who have not necessarily been perfect, but they strive to do the right thing by their children, by their family, by the children's mother. And they taught certain values. They modeled the teachings and the values that they taught. And they provided the right environment and opportunities for their children to grow, shaped by those values we just made note of. Indeed, Malachi, 4th chapter, 6th verse, says something to the effect that until the hearts of the fathers are returned to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, I will smite the earth with a curse. Now, I wrote about this back in 2006. I did an audio book, a self-published audio book, largely through my nonprofit organization. And we handed out locally in where I am in Nashville, Tennessee. In that the thesis of my book was that there was a curse because of disobedience. Not necessarily because you're an inherently bad person, but disobedience. And this is why I'm convinced my thesis was based on the thought that we're suffering right now. Society. There's a breakdown in communication and in action between men and the Creator who made them with and for a specific purpose. When the process of procreation comes into the picture, the natural, healthy thing. There's nothing wrong or dirty about it. No, nothing wrong or dirty about procreation, about giving birth to children at all. You know, and you can essentially be happy in this process. It only becomes perverted when it is intemperate and excess. Yeah. Yeah, when there is intemperance and access, that you know, I know some people may feel like they are gigolo or number one stuttered or something like that. I don't know, but Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, only made you to keep up with one. Yeah. Oh, I know the historical nature of Eastern culture where you had men with several wives and concubines. I get it. Can I tell you something? This is 2022 in the United States of America. That dog will not hunt. Don't fool yourself. Okay? And you might want to go back over there if that's what you want to do. We can talk about that a little bit later. I won't get into that now. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. This is Talk Straight. You're listening to Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and tonight is open mic. Tonight is open mic, which means you can come on in and give me your thought. Let me know what you think. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you. Again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. No sweat. You know, whatever's on your mind. Talk to me about it, and I'd be happy to entertain you. You understand what I'm saying? And we can have a little dialogue here, right? There are going on, I'm referencing an article here that I think I want to share this with you. Do I want to share? No, I don't know if I want to share that with you. One thing I will say is that we're seeing more and more a lot of young parents struggling to maintain themselves and their children. And a lot of mishaps and mistakes are being made as a result of it. And sometimes they're leaving children unattended without proper supervision and things of that nature. Been numerous of cases of that. And you look at them and say, boy, they look like a baby themselves. you know, and you ask yourself, can you really hold them to account? Some would argue they didn't have no business being a parent in the first place if they weren't ready. I hear you. But in reality, guess what all it takes to become a parent? That is true, do the grown folks stuff. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, catch that on your way home. To do the grown folks stuff. And in the end, a baby comes. 13 years old, some children a little bit younger, are able to procreate. Have mature sperm cells and mature eggs, they can procreate. Somebody needs to teach them, though, right? Now, when the child comes, the child can't wait on their biological progenitors, either male or female, to get it together, to learn, and to be ready. They need them right then. And by the way, it's open mic. Call me whatever you want to talk about. Go ahead and give me a call, 657-383-0944. And we can talk about that. We don't have to talk about what I'm talking about tonight. We can, let's hear you. Let's hear your thoughts. And the child can't wait on, let's say it's me. I'm young and I don't know no better, but I did enough to create life. What I need is somebody, responsible person, ideally a father, mother figure, to let me know that just because I did that is not over for me. And that kind of dovetails into the decision for many young ladies who are struggling to find work and things of that nature, and they become pregnant and have to make a decision. Well, I'll just tell you that if that were the case, I would encourage them. Think about the fact that you were blessed to be here yourself, and there, who knows what would have happened. You're one in a million to you if you had been put away, right? Is it going to be easy? Not necessarily, but it don't have to be as difficult as you think. It's going to require some more sacrifice, hard work. One of the first things I do is go find a little nappy-haired fellow. And let's get him in the equation. He got some responsibility here. Young lady, you ain't by yourself. So the best case scenario is abstinence. What'd you say, doctor? I said abstinence. Teach young males and young females that you abstain from procreative behaviors for such time you are responsibly ready to assume the full responsibility for its outcome. Let me say that one more time. Grandmama, cousins, aunties, anybody. Encourage and teach young male and females to abstain from procreative behaviors until such time as they're responsibly ready to assume the outcome of those behaviors. Then you don't have to worry about that. Huh? You ain't got to worry about going out. Well, they're going to do it, Duffy. I've heard people say they're going to do it. Who is they? And do what? Why are they going to do that? Is it because passively folks suggest to them it's okay as long as you don't get caught? Or there's nothing else they can do with their time as a young person? Or that they're supposed to have a little fun, be risky? You take the risk of making a child when two human beings get together. You know, that's biology. That's nature, right? I think you know that. Yeah, I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence. I'm just saying But what's wrong with us teaching them that? What's wrong with us telling them? You know, there are other things you can do with your time. And when you're busy and you're focused, just like an athlete, you don't have much time for anything else. You know, you don't have no time for nothing else. You're too busy. You're too busy focused on the sport that you're training for or you're preparing for. You know, there you go. There you go. I won't stay on there too much, but I believe you kind of get the point that I'm making. All right. I found an article that I wanted to share with you and just see if Facebook, you all had any thought about it. By the way, you can, in the thread here, you can, the group thread, you can post a question or comment, and we'll respond to them accordingly. This was about an Idaho mother who was charged with conspiring to kill her children. Apparently, in order to use the Social Security benefits. And it's a very unfortunate situation. Lori Vallo Daybell and her husband, Chad Daybell, have pleaded not guilty to murder, to conspiracy, and grand theft charges in connection with the deaths of a 7-year-old son, Joshua, and their 17-year-old, Kylie Ryan. These parents could face death penalty if convicted. Now, why you bring that up? Why you bring that up? I don't know them. But I would like to, if I could, I would ask the question, what brought you to that decision? First of all, they're innocent until proven guilty. They have a right to due process of the law. Okay? But now, I find it hard to believe they don't know something about these babies. You understand? And not knowing all the details, it's disturbing on the surface. Should they have a second chance? Should they have a second chance? Should they do time? Now, these are their children that they sacrifice apparently for material or monetary gain. Interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. But things that are going on all around the country, now, can you control that? Sometimes stuff will make you crazy if you don't be careful. I have a tendency to stay in the loop of things because I have several journals or groups that I receive articles from on a regular basis. I subscribe to them and we get the information. It allows me to reasonably speak intelligently about things that are going on. I don't get everything. I don't catch everything, but a lot of things, certainly many of the conversations that we have on Talk Straight here are driven by those current events, research-based things. It helps to be able to be aware of it now. And so there has to be some balance as well. But when I hear these cases, I realize that on different spectrums, different ways, people are struggling. Now, I didn't give the ethnicity of these parents. But some would argue they just about know who it is and what it is. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter who it is and what their ethnicity is. What's that issue? Hey, we got some feedback from you there, St. Louis. Getting a little feedback, some background noises. Welcome to the show there. It doesn't matter who it is. It's tragic. By the way, we're joined, but it's open mic again, St. Louis, and I was just beginning some thread of conversation about an issue out of Boise, Idaho, where a husband and wife apparently are being charged with the death of their two children. And sadly, what's being reported is the motivation, they believe, is to use their Social Security money, get some money. And I was just asking, should they get a second chance? Should they have to go to jail? They killed their own children. Don't know them and don't know all the details, but according to the article there, it's just alarming. What do you think about that? You there with me, St. Louis? Or maybe he muted himself there.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing? What's the conference? What's the topic today?
It's open mic again, and I was just talking about a Boise, Idaho article where two parents are charged with the death of their two children. Apparently, the motive is to use their Social Security to get some Social Security money off of. I know times are tough economically. But do you think, what do you think about that? You think those folks?
Well, people crazy minutes? All over the place, man. They crazy everywhere. Some of these people I don't think are even human.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. Hey.
Act like the aliens.
Disturbing, is it not? Is it not, though, to hear that, And I was just mentioning, St. Louis, that I've subscribed to several online sources to stay in the loop on current events and what have you. And when you see these things, if you read all of them and you internalize, they can mess your head up, man. I happened to come across this one, and it was kind of rough there. Do you think the taxpayers should pay for this in court, or do you think they should expedite this and go and put them away?
Well, they got to have due process, so however long it takes.
Okay. Right. And even if they're convicted, they can appeal. You know what I mean? And that can take even more years. But
you got to your government people, officials are corrupt. Hell, Nancy Pelosi, one son, he's got five federal investigations going on his dealing in Asian countries. She went to Taiwan, then she went to Singapore. He's talking to them people about some deals. This is a bunch of bull crap. I hear where Newsom signed a bill that allow blacks to identify as a certain way and talking about reparations. Well, the only thing wrong with that is California didn't have no damn slavery.
Hold on, what kind of way are they going to identify with?
I don't know.
Identify black? You say black folks? Identify with what?
They want to separate. They want to be. They want. Well, he said that they should be able to have a separate identity, I guess, other than Americans. And how the heck? I mean, I guess okay. Hey, you got men identifying as women and women identifying as men. I guess they can do that too.
So they don't want to be American anymore? Is that what
he's saying? That it would help them to pursue reparations. See, but here's the only thing.
Another nation?
I don't know. You're going to have to read it yourself. But here's the point. There was no slavery in California.
No, it wasn't.
So he's just saying this stuff in order to try to emotionalize black population, black voters, to vote for him. That's all it is.
And I hope there ain't no black folks stupid enough to fall for that.
There are.
Oh, my God.
They beat you to the poll vote for him.
Yeah, please don't.
It's sad,
it.
Ruben.
I mean,
it is just sad. It is just sad.
I do see the temperament in the nation right now, and I was glad to hear President Trump, announce that he wants things to temper down because it's just getting crazy, man. It's going from bad to worse, and we got more important things to focus on than be looking for the next fight. You know what I mean?
It's okay till you start messing with our kids.
Then I'm ready to bust them heads.
Until you start messing with our kids, telling our kids they can identify as a daggone cat, whereas they got a litter box in the bathroom for kids that want to use the litter box in one of them schools.
Yeah. Well, I kind of alluded to that earlier by saying that it's a parent's right to shape the character of their children, to instill the values that are important to them. And a lot of times, many parents struggle with that. You know what I mean? I get that. I understand that. But that's your right. No one else can come in and do that.
Yeah, when your parents, I mean, when your kids are being coerced, basically, into this crazy mess. That's what's happening. You know, under normal circumstances, when a child sees what's going on at the house between mother and father, acting out as mother and father, how else would they get these notions, of course, unless they get it off of TV? But no, it's very, very sad nowadays, but you got to fight back. If not, they'll take over.
Well, you know, I was a special ed teacher, and I started as a long-term substitute in middle school, and then I became a full-time special ed teacher at a high school for a number of years, and I saw that you have children, St. Louis, who are still very much in a very impressive mode, you know what I mean? And if you're not careful, the examples before them, I used to wonder sometimes about my colleagues, some of the ladies that work there, who are you trying to impress these babies or what? Because, you know, the way you're dressing is a little too provocative. And these are impressionable young men around here in particular, and young ladies, I had to send a young lady out of my classroom, man. She's just showing too much. Baby.
Oh, she was. She had her legs wide open?
Well, she didn't have her legs open, but the clothes she had on was revealing too much, you know. And every time she got up, it was, you know, it left very little to the imagination. Bless her heart. Sweet young lady. Sweet young lady, man. Sweet young
lady. You know where she got that from. How old was she?
Well, she was, this was a sophomore, so she's about 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, well, I was going to say she probably got that from her mama.
Well, the truth of the matter is, the truth of the greatest impact was her home context or community or neighborhood or family context.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe that her mama didn't know she wore that out of the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell, yeah, she knew because the mama wore it when she go out to the club.
Now, wait.
The mama wore the daughter's clothes when she go out to the club.
The daughter's clothes? What? Well,
absolutely.
I know that I know some of my sisters growing up, my mother had intended for them to wear certain things, and I've been guilty of myself, and they quickly changed. Either before they get to school or soon after they get there. You understand? The outfit changes because they had another idea of what they wanted to wear than what they were sent with. So that does happen. I just want to acknowledge that, you know. But in this case, you know, I pray the young lady's doing well now, and perhaps she's grown up and mature. So, you know what I mean?
Well, I hope she is too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my hope. I haven't seen her. It's been years now, but I pray that I have run into a few of my students that are adults now, and they seem to be doing pretty well. One young man finished college and working and so forth and so on. So there's some good.
That's good.
That's an upside. What's going on your way, man? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? Learn me something, as the old folks say.
Everything is politics, man.
Yeah,
seeing how these people are trying to corrupt every daggone thing.
Oh,
quite
God.
Obvious.
Oh.
The news media is biased. Mm-hmm. They always constantly attack. Well, they're scared of Donald Trump. I'm going to do all my best to watch Donald Trump get elected and see what he do to him.
Obviously, somebody is petrified of this man. I'm like, Jesus Christ, leave that man alone. He's not in the White. You got what you wanted. He's not in the White House right now. I do find it appalling that the integrity of the Department of Justice and FBI have just really been diminished, man. And the trust level there. So
well,
it's not there anymore.
No, the states need to ring in this federal government power. See, when the FBI come to a state and to a local, a community, they need to check mm-hmm. in with that sheriff or that precinct. And they need to leave their guns there. We got
what?
Too many guns on the street now, right?
You think it's Dodge City or something?
No, yeah. They need to leave their guns at that sheriff's office. They don't need no guns in the community.
That's a bit expensive, St. Louis, I think.
No, it's not.
Be some collaboration.
They need to leave their guns. They don't need guns. You got the sheriff's department. The sheriff gonna send deputies out with you. They gonna look at your warrants to make sure that everything is in compliance, and then they'll send the deputies out with you. The deputies have the right to use deadly force in that community.
Yes, that's true.
Which is granted by the state legislature based on the state constitution. I tell you something else. IRS agent shouldn't be wearing guns when they come knocking on your door. Matter of fact, they should be knocking on your door. They need to do the same thing too. And they shouldn't be wearing weapons.
I saw the president sign that bill, man, and reportedly, I think it was 87,000 more of them they were going to have?
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Those bills he signed, when they violate a state's rights, is null and void. Mm-hmm. He does not control the nation, the state. He's got certain things that's spelled out that he can do in the Constitution, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now the Congress has passed it. It was a partisan bill in both the House and the Senate. It was passed on a partisan line. However, Congress has made that law, and he signed it into law. So that's how.
That don't make no difference. The law is going against the Constitution and null and void. And no matter what political party it is, they are just as bad as the other.
So
you can't make a law. You can't make a law that circumvents the Constitution. You just can't do that.
That's true. So what I'm hearing you suggest is that there's perhaps an argument for someone to challenge that new law that Congress passed and on a partisan basis.
Oh, it'll come. It'll come.
Okay. Okay.
It'll go to court. The court would say whether it's going to the Constitution. Then, two, the state legislature don't have to abide by it. If they think it's unconstitutional, they tell the federal government, take a hike. That's what it's going to get down to. That's what it should be.
Well, we've seen that mindset with these areas calling themselves sanctuary cities. So speaking of which, I thought that was interesting, man, to see how the governor of Texas played that thing with New York and D.C. Caused a little headache for him.
he sent some illegals to D.C.
Yeah.
What
I found interesting is how when they got there, particularly in New York, where I understand they were identified as a sanctuary city, that was welcome to everybody, the homeless population that was already on the street got pushed further back to the line. Ain't that something?
Goes to show you the mindset of them damn Democrats and some of the crazy Republicans. Ain't no Republicans in New York City. They all Democrats.
What? Now they say it's some Republicans. You saying
ain't no Republican in government in New York that I know of.
Okay. I don't know, so I'm not going to try to speak. But I'm just saying I thought that was quite.
And if it is, it ain't enough to mount to the hill of a bean.
Well, and then it's not just that, but it's in general when you have even the newcomers that came from Afghanistan, and I understand we want to be open and warming, but didn't that further exacerbate the issue we had with people that were already in poverety and homeless?
You're supposed to take care of home first.
Yeah, we ain't
before
been
you invite somebody else in.
Well, and then another thing that I saw, St. Louis, they say the way to infiltrate a nation and take it over is to send young men there. Most of the people that I saw getting off of those buses were healthy, able-bodied young men.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. How in the hell are you sending people from Afghanistan to America and you got Americans being held hostage in Afghanistan?
That's a crazy story. That's a crazy story, my friend. You got
Americans being held hostage in D.C. jails.
Yeah.
You got Americans being held hostage in Russia before Britney got there.
Yeah.
And well, they ain't held hostage. They're prisoners for committing a crime.
In some other countries.
But
in some other
countries, the people in Afghanistan, they was there, and they're being held hostage, just like the 13 soldiers that was killed that day when they was showing up at the airport. That's Joe Biden's fault.
Certainly on his watch, that's for sure. And he has to go and take that one on the chin, man. Go and take that one on the chin. How do you see things going, St. Louis, for the country over the next
six? The country is going to do one of two things. They're going to recapture, recover, or it's going to be divided. And I would hope it be divided. I hope the states divide along their own lines. For instance, I wouldn't have no event in Kansas, being that they okay abortions. Well, don't have no events there. Don't have no conventions there.
You mean everybody?
If you about God's word, if you about suffer little children come unto me, don't have no church events there in Kansas.
No. And if you do, sounds like you're inferring that if they did, their faith is less founded in God. So would you?
They're hypocritical. They're hypocritical. What? Absolutely.
Now, wait a minute now. Just because I walk past a sewer that's faint and got stinky stuff in it don't mean I'm a foul person because I walk past a sewer. I may get some of the stench on me, but you understand what I'm saying? It seems to me that's the same scenario.
I don't support anything like that. And see, when Major League Baseball boycotted Atlanta with the All-Star game because the Atlanta State Legislature passed a Voter Reform Act, other organizations like Church of God in Christ, Southern Baptists, and others should not have any conventions in Kansas.
I don't think it makes them a bad, it makes them bad people or organizations if they choose not to take that position. But I understand what you're saying, that as a matter of principle, but they don't control.
Well, you got to treat them like they treat you. That's all it's about.
Okay, St. Louis, if I could, you were talking about Kansas, which is that's a very interesting case study in terms of states, right? Because it's the first state that I understand that really took what the Supreme Court intent was recently with reversing the Roe versus Wade decision. And what they were simply saying is the people of the state should decide that. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The people of the state decided, like the people in Georgia decided, like the people in Missouri decided.
Sure.
And like the people in South Carolina decided, and National Basketball League threatened not to have any games played there.
We'll
fix their butts.
If you're anybody, just don't spend your money there. You ain't got to spend your money there.
Right. Your organizations, based on the membership, should not have any conventions there. Simple as that.
Well, now, because the city didn't, that may be the place where your organization does well with their convention. It's not that you uphold the decision of the legislature or the people so much. I hear what you're saying, that you got to, let your money.
Well, it is. If you don't complain against it, that means you support it.
No, man. I don't like people who engage in sin, but it don't mean I don't that I support.
Well, that's you. You can go there if you want to. I ain't. It's just like Oprah Winfrey was sending women who wanted to be actress to Harvey Weinstein. She knew what they he was
what?
Doing with them women.
What? No, not my girl Oprah now. Don't say Oprah. Don't say Oprah now. That's my girl, St. Louis. Hey, we're joined by Pastor Waller. Welcome, Pastor. It's open mic again, and we're just speaking about current events, man. It seems to be a lot going on around here, a whole lot going on. Welcome.
Yeah. All right. Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Pretty good. How you doing, sir?
Good.
We were just talking about some of the things that are going on legislatively and socially and what have you. And the main thing is with our babies, leave them babies alone. If grown people want to do something, man, you want to jump off a building, I wouldn't encourage you, you know. And I try to sound that.
Well, they have to mess with the babies because they don't produce none, so they want yours in order to carry their ideologies into the future.
Well, and I wouldn't tell them they don't have a right to have their ideologies. Leave my children alone. You know what I'm saying? You know, you like that's what I'm saying. If you want to go jump off a building, I wouldn't encourage you, but if you did, you just had to. You know, hey, I ain't going to jump with you, Pastor Wallace. I ain't going. Go ahead, man. Let me know how it turned out for you.
It's going to be quite difficult, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'll
be quite difficult.
But St. Louis, isn't that the nature of individual freedom in America? And that's
yeah, you got the freedom to associate and the freedom to disassociate.
True. That's right. You don't have to necessarily kick it with old Doctor. You don't want to go out and get some lemonade or nothing with me. That's all right. I ain't going to be mad.
That's right. I ain't buying
but,
for I, like I say, I wouldn't executive leasing, enterprise leasing. I don't rent from them no more because they said they wasn't going to accept NRA lifetime membership cards toward discounts.
Oh,
and repulsion on guns. So I said, well, I ain't renting from you no more. The hell would you buy?
Well, you got a right to do that, man. That's your right to take that position.
Absolutely.
You know, where it goes, I guess you'll see. Right.
Yeah, my money gonna stay in my pocket. That's where it's gonna go.
There you go, and you can keep an eye on it. All right. Well, Pastor Waller, what's going on over your way there, sir? How the world treat you?
I mean, I'm walking according to what I have to deal with whenever the time presents itself, and I just take it as it comes. And I do that purposely because I was reminded that it was not fair for me to try to resist something that have to become in existence. And that is a day, so I can't deny that, you know, that I didn't make the day, so I'm not going to try to resist it. But there are some things that I know I have to deal with. And and having a choice to the matter, you know, is really good to know that. Sometimes a person have a choice in the matter and don't know it. And that's tough because other than that, a lot of people are supporting things that actually they don't have to, but they choose to as if they have to. And that's tough, man. So that's going on right now as we speak. But a person even have an opportunity to know that they can have a choice in a certain matter. And, even though it's wrong, but they still have their choice if they choose to.
Right.
It was a saying that they say a lot of times, I find it to be so true, a person have a right to be wrong if that's what they choose to do. And I was like, man, that's amazing because a lot of that's going on. If I'm going down the wrong road and I'm convinced that this is the right road I'm going down, that's my right. And take a little time to find out, man, I was going down the wrong road. Now is can I admit it? And that to me, you know, I didn't really like that because I was going down the wrong road. And thank God for correction, man. You know.
Okay.
Because there's so many people. Huh?
That do that. There's so many people that do that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, today, man, I mean, it's, you know, it's a, see, a trap is real. A trap is not something that is not real, man. I mean, the trap come in so many ways, in so many avenues that a trap is utilized. And some is with the intent to do harm. And, you know, sometimes the trap is for fun and game, you know, like in sports. You know, that's fun and game, you know, get the crowd excited and things like that. But then it also happened to be a trap that's meant to do you harm. And that causes people to choose to do certain things that they normally wouldn't do had it not been for the trap. So,
but that's the nature of the trap.
Unfortunately, it's like that. I mean, from my experience.
But that's the nature of a good trap, Pastor Waller. A good trap now is going to put you in a predicament where you can't get out. It's going to surprise you, sneak up on you. You understand what I'm saying? And when you know it, it's all over for you. That's a good trap.
Before you know it. Before you know it, it's like, okay, what is this?
Hey, gentlemen, I grew up in Chicago, and we had some big rats, man, in the neighborhood I grew up in. And sometimes them little rat traps, St. Louis, the engineering of them traps, they weren't too good because the rats was intelligent enough to get the cheese and pop the trap and look back at you like, now what's up?
Well, the thing is, nobody really should be falling for those traps because they've been talked about forever. They've been talked about forever.
Well,
it's just like the old cliche, don't touch that hot stove, you're going to burn yourself. It's been talked about forever, these traps. But they still are suckered in and bamboozled into these traps. And I don't know what to tell you.
Well, let me.
Some traps are not to be told. Some traps are not to be told, St. Louis. Let me give you a good example right here. And I'm going to say this because I've experienced it in sports. Okay, there was a game being played by the team that I was playing with against the opponent. And the game was going. It was going. Both teams are doing it. And suddenly the time began to wind down and draw a little close. It's not almost over. It's just drawing close to the time of being over. And there's a timeout, and both teams are at the timeout. But one team didn't know that the other team is over there playing in a trap. The team that been playing back and forth, it was no trap going on. And all of a sudden, here come the trap. What happened? The team did not know about the trap. So not everybody knew about the trap, and it worked. And we don't need to work one time. We would love for it to continue to work, but if you try it again, they just may be familiar with it. But the first time, you just may not know that it was a trap. And that's where the turnover came in there. We needed the ball. We wanted to get the ball. We wanted to kind of get another point or two, you know, things like that. And it could be vice versa. They could be ready to put a trap on us. We're not thinking that it's a trap. So the trap is real, and it actually works. I just know that I'm not going to go into that trap the second time now because I know that's different. But when you get caught the first time, brother, look here, it's real. And it's not like I want to be in the trap. No, that trap there was not for you to know. And that's what's going on, man. And it's not to be denied or pretend like as if it's not going on because it's still happening today, man. It really is sad to say, man, but it's actually happening. And it would have been a beautiful thing had people known. I would love to say that, hey, man, but they already know that that's a trap. No, sir. No, sir. No clue.
Well,
that's tough, too, brother, because it makes sense what St. Louis is saying, but it's not reality that it's like that, you know, when people are just growing up and just coming up and suddenly something take place like that, man. It's hard to get up out of a trap, too. I say this, and I'll turn it back over to you. I remember the trap so well, and I get angry every now and then just thinking about it. Man, look at that trap you was in. You know? Man, what a trap. And then what I do after that, Pastor Doctor? I get credit where credit was due. I say, you got me.
They were good, huh?
Yes, right. That's what I say. I let it be known. I say, it was low down and everything and all that to put with it. But you still got me. So I'm that kind of person. I always give credit where credit is due. even though I didn't like it, I didn't appreciate the trap, not at all. I thought it was, you know, one of the most evil things to do to an individual that's innocent, man. You know, why you put a person in a trap like that?
Are there some good traps, though? Are there good reasons to set
traps? Yes, there are. Yes, there are some good traps, positive traps.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some positive traps, man. There are some good traps, believe me.
Okay.
Believe me, I've experienced one. Yes, sir.
All right. I was going to tell St. Louis that I when y'all were talking, some reason I was thinking about Earth, Wind, and Fire reasons. Y'all know the song. In the song, the guy was calling he and the lady out, saying that they were trying to make excuses for being together. But ain't but one reason they were they didn't want to be stopped. They didn't want to be trapped from hooking up, being together. So some people, they don't mind being in a little trap. It's the thrill of the hunt. Is that right, St. Louis? Thrill of the hunt, man. You know, we know it's something. See if I say so. I mean, that's the nature of many of us, that we get a thrill from the challenge, and we don't learn till it's too late. Like St. Louis said, just don't touch stove, and you won't have to worry about getting your hand burned.
Well, if you don't know about the stove being hot and you see that red and that fire coming up out of there and you don't know it, you stick your head in there, you just find out. It's not because you knew.
I experienced that personally.
Yeah. When you know,
after I got burnt, then nobody tell me nothing, man. Shoot.
It looked good before that, though, right? But now after.
Hey.
That's a different story, you know, after. Yeah,
I was curious. I wanted to know. I had heard the older brothers and sisters, but I was curious, man. I wanted to know for myself. And guess what?
You got a chance to experience it.
Ask me if I ever do it again, though. Ask me if I ever do it again. I bet you I won't.
That experience was good. That's what it's about.
Experience is
something, man. For real, it really is.
That's a good point. Unfortunately, there are informed decisions, gentlemen, and uninformed decisions or ill-informed decisions. And too many people, and I'm not just talking about young people now, there are too many chronological adults void of wisdom and understanding to make informed decisions. It seems sad. I go back to the article that I was making reference to in Boise, Idaho. Grown people, man. These are not little children. These are folk who, I don't know if you heard that part of the conversation. Read an article about a husband and wife who killed their two children to get money.
Oh, man.
To cash in on some Social Security benefits. Isn't that something, man? Should they waste taxpayer money going through the court? They have now in America. The Sixth Amendment guarantees us all the right to face our accusers in due process of law. Let me say that. Having said that, though, my goodness, some of this stuff, man, it make you wonder sometimes. People are doing some crazy things, though. And should it matter? These were the Caucasian cubs, St. Louis. Oftentimes people hear that, they quick to say, oh, they must have been black. No, these were some of my white brothers.
People of any skin color suffer likewise atrocities. It's just not only those with black. And here's the thing, too. Just because you look over in another part of the world, or you look over in another part, those blacks are not you.
That's true.
They are not you. It's because you got the same skin color. Hey, the Vikings had the same skin color as the Gauls in France that they went and decimated. Skin color.
Yes, sir. You're making a good point, because in reality, St. Louis, there's no such thing as no black and white other than the colors, the crayons.
And you know, one of the problems with Black Americans, they talking calling people African. Africans don't identify as Africans. They identify by other means. And Black Americans is not Africans.
Well, you know why that came about, though. That was my senior thesis, St. Louis. I did my senior thesis on what you're talking about right now. Negro, Black, African, American, Afro-American. They're superficial labels, right?
Yes, they are. And what people should do is tend to their own kids, provide for them, give them the best that you can, and most things that they need in order to be successful is free.
That's right.
All you have to do is just go and apply, join on, and participate. They free. You got libraries free. You got you got museums that's free.
Free.
You got some classes that's free.
That's true. That's true. I mean, and these are excellent extracurricular activities where not only the your children can enjoy and benefit from, but you can do it right along with them. See, I would encourage parents to understand that as much you got to work and take care of them, but as much as you can, go with them. Don't just send them, go with them. You know, process them on the things that they're. That they're doing and what
you
know.
You can't just let kids decide on what they want to do. You got to be a major input in that direction that they ultimately achieve. Because if you leave it up to children, they all be library assistants.
hey, if my mama let me do what I want to, I'd be eating cookies and milk every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, forget some broccoli or anything else. It's cooking milk for me always. But no, that's true. That's why children need parents. That's why they need parents. When you think about that and you look at your children now, St. Louis, and you see the reflection of your instruction in their life.
Absolutely.
What would you change?
Absolutely. Well, I made sure that I wouldn't be able to look back and say that I wish I had her, because I tapped into everything that wasn't nailed down.
Okay. I know Pastor Waller has a beautiful daughter and some grandbaby. What would you do different? Is there anything you do different, Pastor? And you talk about this in your book, in your first book, a beautiful job of you know, it wasn't something you planned, but you've done an excellent job with it anyway. Is there anything you would change, Pastor? I asked myself that question about my own two children. But if you don't mind sharing with us, Brother Preacher.
Well, when you say we got to do something, would I think about doing something different? Or
if you had to do it all over again. Yeah, if you had to do it all over again, make that decision. Would you make a different decision, go a different direction?
No, it wouldn't be fair to the to the challenge. It wouldn't be
okay.
Because that's what it was. That's what it was with me.
Wow.
Because of the way I got her,
wow.
The way she was given to me, you know, and in spite of all the things that she learned through me, I'm sure she probably was in a hurry, couldn't wait to get away from me. to grow up and say,
well, they don't realize, they don't appreciate that till they get older.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I remember she used to have to walk into place and she knew where to go take a seat at and everything. And she was going everywhere I was going, man. They had me going somewhere everywhere. And when I used to walk into place, you know, whether it was a church or whether it was someone's funeral or something, I was being called on very much. I took her to work with me when I had to go get her from school, different things like that. And so that's a lot of being with me, man, that she had to do. I can only imagine, you know, how her school friends and things was saying to her, a preacher's daughter. I said, well, I know they don't know what I've been through, so they suddenly say anything. They don't have no clue what kind of daddy she got. You know, they're just thinking that, you know, he's just a preacher. I ain't never said to her, but tell them how I used to live. I didn't do that. But I used to think maybe she would just tell them on purpose. And look here, you all just don't know what kind of dad I do have, but I don't think she ever put it out there. I think if she had her, it would have been all right with me, because I'm sure she had a lot of peer pressure she had to deal with, and kids, you know, are doing whatever they want to do. And then the time when she was up under my care, I made sure that there's certain things that you're not going to be able to do, you know. And I know it's because I've experienced a lot of things before she came into the world. So I'm sure it was tough for her, man. I used to see her sometimes when she was about 5 or 6 years old, man, and she was going to church with me. I go up in the pulpit, and next thing I know, she's over there going, taking her seat. Man, doing things like that. Yeah.
Right.
But now, she has a right to do what she chooses to do now.
Oh, well, she's doing all right. She's doing all right. Looks pretty good to me. Looks pretty good to me.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, raise them up in the right way.
There you go.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
I
mean, sometimes even with that now, I'm going to tell you this. I'll turn it back over.
No, go ahead.
When you have done what you was assigned to do by way of doing just
that
what you said, Saint, and they choose not to go that route, that's not my fault. You understand?
It ain't your fault.
Person. No. And so things like that does take place, too, and I do realize that. But after all the energy that you put into it to make sure that you're covering them, because they are your responsibility at this point. And then suddenly they just have that, I want to be like the rest of the kids, you know, do some things. And that's interesting, because that's what happened to a lot of us, you know, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Single parents,
I personally got
caught
up
like
in
that.
In my thumb up.
Yeah, yeah, it happens, man.
Well, I was going to say, gentlemen, that I very much like you, Pastor, I used to string my children around to different places. And one particular incident, I was lecturing at Tennessee State University, and the children were school age. They were middle school. And my daughter now teaches lifeguards and first aid, CPR, and things of that nature in her line of work.
Okay.
And it was interesting to me how she was telling me about an experience she had recently, and she was using a technique of dialogue and engagement and what have you that she told me about. She said, it worked too. But it goes to speak that, thank Lord, as you were saying, when you reflect on, and sometimes we don't think we're doing, I know I didn't anyway, I was concerned, let me say it like that, that I wasn't doing enough or saying the right thing. You understand? That always kept me on my tippy toes, make sure I was striving to do the right thing, because I don't want to be a bad example on them. But sometimes we don't think we are having a strong enough impression, and we're unconscious of just how much of an impression we're having. So it was quite refreshing to hear her say that to me, that, hey, that worked. I used that. And I was, okay, you're good. I'm glad you said that.
That's great.
Glad you're able
sir.
To use that. Glad you're able to use that. Sometimes St. Louis did the children always, were they always happy to follow instructions? I know they didn't have a choice. But what they always said.
They had no choice. And they had no choice.
Yeah.
Well,
a bunch
I
of
know
parents.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is it. This is it. If you want to eat.
Didn't have no choice.
Like
I had people that threatened to call the Division of Family Service on me because I wouldn't let my daughter eat candy.
What?
Yeah.
Ain't that something else?
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, there are people who think that, you know, that's interesting. I remember Saddam Hussein, when they were coming after him over there, and they interviewed him, the translator said, he said, we refuse to let America make our women into prostitutes. I was like, wow. But that's their call.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look
you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to tell you something. Go show you how bad it is. When you do a Google search on the most searched topic in porn, guess what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Lesbianism.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
It used to be having to do something with child, you know, some time ago, but now it's lesbianism.
It's a fad, St. Louis. It's a social fad around the country that's sweeping the country now. Something the best you could do is to make sure that you and yours be like Joshua. As for me and my house, it's the way it's gonna be. And when your children get old, they'll have a frame of reference to make a decision. Okay, you know what? Yeah, I could try this. I can go there. I can hook up here. But what's best for me? At least I know how to make a conscious choice of what's good and what's not good for me.
And I'm going to tell you again, you cannot, a female cannot raise a boy into a man. It ain't going to happen.
No.
And if it does, it's few and far in between. It's unusual.
Is it fair to say that she has an influence on his growth and development into a man, St. Louis?
She has an influence, but she's not.
Yeah.
But he's going to ask her some questions she don't even know her own self.
Yeah. What? Why my tank burning like that?
Yeah.
She might know. And then she
can't control him from his peers. You know, I was sitting in a barbershop one day, and a young lady came in, and, you know, everybody was having a casual conversation. She walked in the door, and she said, "Excuse me, I need some man to help me with my son. I can't control him no more."
Hmm.
And I guess he was about 12, 13 years old.
Okay.
But that's true. Your females cannot raise boys into men, and every male ain't a man.
Uh-oh. Watch out now. Wait a minute. You must have been off in my book, man. You must have been off my book, man. I said that in my book. That's because your male don't make you a man.
That's right.
Hey, man. But you know, you check out that woman that you said that she said that she couldn't raise him anymore. In other words, she can't handle him anymore, right? But she was handling him, bringing him up until he started to think about what his friends doing.
Going out in the streets,
all of a sudden.
And that ain't no kidding. That woman came in the barbershop and stopped everybody from talking. Excuse me, I need somebody to help me with my son. She was begging, practically.
Crying out. She was crying out, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, gentlemen, there's a period of sociological and psychological growth where males are crying out for certain information. And without the proper coaching, right, they either can go one or two ways. They can become introverted about it, fold in and become frustrated and scared, or they'll go all the way out to try to find the answers for themselves, sometimes looking in all the wrong places for the answers. You see what I mean? And that's why it's vitally important. The father is the first voice of authority. Now, I was just talking about that earlier, too, where we should teach young males and females that when you engage in procreative behaviors, there's a responsibility that comes with that. And if you're not ready to assume that, it's best to abstain from such behavior. Otherwise, you're fine.
Well, a woman's supposed to obey a husband. But, see, you got to have a man that's a husband. In Africa, a husband's wife and child is considered his property. And you have to provide for your property in the right way.
Okay.
See, now here in the United States, that terminology is frowned upon. Well, hell, it existed forever. Your wife and children is your property. That's yours to take care of.
Hey, St. Louis, I would say it like this. I would say it like the scripture said. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. In other words, what he was saying is, when you do that, you are showing forth the ultimate love, not so much because they are physical property. They are a responsibility of yours. I think that's what you're saying. I agree with that. They are a responsibility of yours.
That's what that society, that's the way that society describes it, and you have to give them respect. It's their society. After all, it's been around for millions. It's been around for tens of thousands of years.
Well,
it's been tried, proved, and tested.
Well, they got it on lock. You know, I was listening to some of the stories St. Louis about Afghanistan. Oh, they won't let the women go to school. That is their culture that has existed for thousands of years.
Absolutely.
We talking about thousands of years they've been doing that, and to think that the little 20 years that America's influence by force was controlling things in Afghanistan, that was going to stop these people and just make them give up their cultural context? No.
And like when they say blacks here wasn't allowed to get educated and read and write, that's just not true. Now, in certain environments, it may have been, but ultimately it was not. Where blacks could not learn how to read and write. And I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
You see a picture with Einstein talking to a whole group of black males, and he's talking to them about some scientific principle.
Okay.
Well, they had
okay.
to be educated to know what the heck he's talking about. So they was going to school.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's true, St. Louis, because not all people we commonly refer to as blacks were slaves in America.
They were not.
So that's true that there were people of different.
Take your kid under a tree and educate him, teach him how to read and write.
Oh yeah, that's true. I was going to say even during the Revolutionary period, you know, where America, before America became a country, there were free, they were aptly then called Negroes, you know. And some of them were of such a light hue, they were referred to as colored.
Here's the thing. Every group of people had those experiences. The Acadians in New York, they weren't allowed to speak their language, and if the kids were caught speaking, they put a dead goat head around their neck.
Uh-oh.
Acadian society is down here in Louisiana. They were moved down here. Every society of people go through something that can be looked at as being bad, and then, too, looked at as being good.
It's a perspective.
Those are what you call, what's the word for that? Those are humans.
Pastor, I was going to say that when my wife and I were down there in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale area, we went into this grocery store and looked at the sisters that were there. They were dark hue, chocolate, and everything had hips and waist and healthy and full. And when they started speaking, they were speaking fluent Spanish. Wife was just, what?
Oh, man.
I mean, they even had the little short head and, you know, a little kinky hair, looked like a sister from the hood, you know what I mean? But they were speaking fluent Spanish. Not no, just across the water over there. Black Cubans.
Yeah.
And Haitians.
They ain't the same as black
like
Americans. They ain't the same. The same thing with whites. Whites don't identify by being a European. They identify either with, just like every other ethnic group, by their language group,
Irish,
or their culture.
Greek,
a name
Irish.
Reveals a name reveals land, history, and culture. That's what it does.
What's in the name? That's a priest right there, Samuel. What's in the name? But
land, history, and culture.
You guys have been wonderful. We're down to our last 10 minutes here. We can call it a do, Pastor Wilder. We can call it a do. I have a special. I'm campaigning again, and I have a special virtual rally online tomorrow on a certain platform, and so we're just getting ready for that. But we appreciate you guys jumping in here with us tonight.
All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here. Y'all take care of yourself. Pastor Wallace, you be careful, and I'll
talk
to you guys next
week. All right, St. Louis.
All right,
do the same.
right. Well, Pastor Waller, I'm sorry, I cut you off there. My bad. You're still with me? Okay, good. Good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we can bring it to a close, man. We can bring it to a close. I appreciate you, sir. I appreciate you. And
all right.
We've been laying low under this rock trying to make it happen, man. Trying to make it happen.
Oh, man.
Sometimes
that's
you
got to
pull
right,
back,
that's...
man.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No doubt about that. I know this time is winding down and it's getting to that point. I was getting ready to make known about something before we wind down, too. I've been doing so much, so I had to wind down and say about these little basketball thing I was getting ready to do.
Okay.
And
okay.
I had to put it off for a little while. So many things was going on. But now I'm going to do it the latter part of this month right here still, though I'm going to take and deal with the 25th, 26th, and the 27th of August. I'm going to do all I can to teach some of those young people. So that's
I'll get with you.
Something
I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be out of town on those days, but I'll get with you to see what we can do.
Get
some of the guys that we work with in the past as well.
Right. Hey, man, well, just be encouraged in the midst of your strive, brother. Just keep doing your thing. And know that God is a God, and he plays the order game so well. Just keep doing what you're doing and stay in his order and watch him work it out. That's the good part.
Watch it now. Yeah, that'll preach right there.
Yeah,
man.
Watch
that'll
him work it
right
out.
There.
Yes, sir, because there is a game that they play. Yes, sir. Let him do, man, because, you know, he know how to do something and set you up right. You know, it's a good trap because there's such thing as a trap. I got set up by him. Yeah, that's how I got the ability. He set a good trap for me. Yeah, so it is a good thing.
Wow.
We praise God for you, man. And just like I say, you just keep doing what you're doing and be encouraged. And we want to believe what the Word of God says according to Psalms 121 and verse 1. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From which comes
what?
Our help.
Some of my help.
Realizing that our help
some
comes from the one who owns heaven and earth, man. So, yes, sir. So you're in good shape, brother. Back to you on that note, man. But just keep looking.
Well,
keep expecting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll be
God
got
it all in
thank
order.
You again. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And those who that checked in with us here, we appreciate you joining us. We are striving to keep the dialogue alive and keep the lines open at least on Tuesday nights from 7 to at least 8:30 there. But we'll keep on doing it. We want to thank Pastor Wallach Cole for being there 6 years, man. You've been fooling with me 6 years, dude. 6 years.
Man, that's amazing. Amen. There must be something right, brother. That's all I can say. Yeah, six years.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
6 years. I mean, goodness gracious. What is it? Man, something wrong around here.
Something's got to be. Yes, sir.
No doubt. We're grateful. We appreciate you. Pastor, those dates that you were talking about, it'll be 27 years. The boss lady and I have been married. So
man.
We're going to be
awesome,
on
brother.
An excursion. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Take a moment to get away from it all.
That's it, brother. That's it. Fantastic, man. Very deserving.
But I've been
very deserving.
Yes, sir. I don't know what our problem is. 27 years, man. The same cat.
Amen. Amen. She must know something, brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, she know a good thing when she know one, and likewise. So it came with one power, and that is togetherness, man. So that's it. You locked in together, brother. Well, I just say congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
there's
you
a
share
song,
and enjoy.
Yes, sir. There's a certain song where the writer said you're smooth as Tennessee whiskey, and you're sweet as strawberry, warm as a glass of brandy. On your love, I sit stone all the time. I guess I'll have to learn the lyrics so I can sing it to a fast.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead. I'm sure you'll lay the notes down, brother. That's good. I'm sure you'll lay it down.
Yes, sir. And we'll look forward to doubling back here and on the next episode for Talk Straight There. Thank you for joining us again, and we'll see you guys the next time. Yeah.